Coach's Corner it is.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Should you die with zero? This is written by Nick Majuli. He has a blog of dollars and data. Nick's article discusses an idea authored by Bill Perkins known as Die with Zero. Bill's suggestion is that people should strive to die with $0 to their name. His reasoning is that every dollar you didn't spend while alive is wasted life energy. It's money that you never needed to work for in the first place, or money that could have been given to your heirs earlier in time. Nick's article discusses the pros and cons of this approach.
So die with zero, Mike. Figure it out perfectly so you die with zero.
You bounce your last check.
Yeah. pretty silly term. And he even says, of course, it's easy to say die with zero in theory, but it's much more difficult in practice. No, it's not much more difficult. It is impossible in practice. Nobody possibly dies with literally zero.
So what would be like a...
close to zero. I get it.
Yeah. But what would be a success? Like if you're aiming to die with zero and you have $1 million and you retire... I'm using a million for easy math in my small brain. So $1 million... I retire between the ages of 65 and 70. I implement a spend down like lifestyle where I'm spending down my money. So I'm spending more than it's earning. So I'm dipping into the principal every year. What's a success? 300 grand left? Or less?
Zero.
No, but that's
like
not
a realistic.
That's not practical. Like what's a realistic success if that's your goal?
I don't know. Like
I don't know how to even answer that.
Yeah, I mean it's less than that even, I think. Like I picture someone who has everything paid for, like they're not even touch, like they've spent it or almost all of it, and everything else that they need is being paid for, whether it's long-term care or their Social Security covers everything, and they really don't have to rely on their what they've saved, what they have. And then it's, 100 grand, and it just stays at that because they're not touching it.
Yeah.
That's how I picture the die with zero person, but that assumes a lot of things, that you have made provisions to have resources available to you to take care of you or to whatever, however long you live. So
there were a couple of interesting points in it that I found. The concept, like conceptually, when they mentioned, like, I don't know if it was the book that he was reading and commenting on, but you know, every dollar that you accumulate that is unused is wasted work energy. And I never thought of it that way, mm-hmm. right? Like if you decide to work to 68 instead of 62, mm-hmm. I mean, that's 6 years of your life that you worked that you
maybe didn't have to.
You didn't have to. And I know it's impossible to time it and know, and it gets even harder if you're a couple because now we have the longevity of two people that we need to account for. But I thought that was just an interesting way to think about it.
I think the concept of it, I definitely, I don't know if you agree with it. I love the idea of people thinking about either meaning they have to work less or they can give their money away sooner. I think it's awesome. And I wish that, you know, we deal with a generation of people who were raised by depression babies. So there is a frugality mentality and a very conservative approach to their money. So there's a psychological element that I think, you know, is very difficult to kind of counter. But I think if you could get someone to agree that I'd rather have the money being used by people who are ultimately going to get it, or I'd rather not work as long. Like if you could figure it out, if we could know all of the unknowns, I think the vast majority of people would do this, right? They would strive for it. Like if I knew I'm going to be in a long-term care facility for 2 years, I have the exact amount of money allocated for that, right? If I knew that, like if we could determine all of those things, I mean, I think a lot of people would gravitate towards an approach like this.
Yeah, I think we see way more people that are concerned about running out of money than trying to thread the needle in that way.
And not because they don't have a lot of money.
Right.
They have a lot of money, but they're still concerned about
running. Exactly. And I think that the psychology is like everything here. You'd rather die with way more than you need.
Yes.
Than cut it close, because then that means that you're maybe relying on your kids or relying on others to kind of support you, and most people don't want to be in that position. So I think they err on the side of spend less, maybe work longer, create a buffer, knowing that you probably aren't going to run out, but that maybe smallish chance that you do is everything, I think, for a lot of people.
Now, what do we see? I mean, how do we see our clients using their money? Like, we have very few, if any, that are like using a spend down method. Are spending down their money because they want to live a lifestyle, and that means they have to spend it down, and they don't care to leave anything. Most of our clients want to leave an inheritance to their kids, and I think most of them are just employing the I want to spend a little bit less per year than my portfolio earns.
Yeah, I don't think there's anybody who's intentionally trying to spend more. There are years and situations that warrant it, but I don't think it's an intentional approach by any of our clients. And I would agree that most people want to leave money. I do think, at least in the last couple of years, with really account balances being as high as they've been, people have been much more deliberate about gifting. And I think that's become a more regular part of our clients' plans. Than it had been previously. And that's, I think, part of this, is that they're realizing, maybe a little bit, not to the extent where they're going to like drastically alter their lifestyle, but if I can give each of my kids $5,000 or $10,000, and my grandkids, I can help someone with college, like they're more willing, I think, to do that.
I mean, it's pretty, you can build a strategy where you're doing something very, that's trying to accomplish what this guy's talking about, right? Like if you live on $40,000 a year from your investments. You could take $1,000,000 and you can set up your $40,000 a year from there and adjust it for inflation every year. And then the other $500,000, assuming you have $1,000,005, the other $500,000 could be set up to be like a spend down strategy, all right? Like I'm 65, over the next 20 years, I want to spend that $500,000 down to zero. Right? Like you can do it that way. Mm-hmm. Just most people don't like seeing the number go down. They don't like seeing the total go down. And maybe that's going to change when this generation of wealth dies. Passes. But I think that's going to, I was thinking about another point in the article where you're talking about most people inherit money in their 60s, or 60 was the mean age, which I don't see that in our practice. Like I see people inheriting money in their 70s.
Sure. Yeah, that's younger.
Right? Because their parents were closer. Right. Yeah. Right? Their parents are younger. I mean, yeah. I have a buddy who just had a kid last week. He's 45.
Yeah.
Like his kid's going to inherit money when he's like 40.
Yeah.
Like I think that age is going to go down because our generation was not having babies as early as our parents were having kids. So I think that number was a little off. Like I think more people are inheriting money later now. But I think as time goes on, you're going to get money younger. And that's going to be a game changer. Right? If you're inheriting $500,000 when you're 55. Like, that's huge. The kids are hopefully off the payroll, out of college, and yet now you're entering your peak earning years. And, oh, by the way, here's $500,000. And it's probably going to be more because this generation has more money. Mm-hmm. Thoughts or feedback, guys? As I was just rambling there a little bit.
I thought, well, you were talking about people watching their account balances go down. I feel like my initial thought on that is that it's the first time in their life that that's happened, probably. And that's uncomfortable. No matter whether you marry it to the fact that you're spending it down and like what you're doing is perfectly legit. But I think I could imagine a lot of people just have a lot of discomfort with just that part of it. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I kind of feel like I would, you know? When you're used to like trying to like build and accumulate and grow for your entire life, and then all of a sudden it's like, you know, it slaps you in the face too, right? Like your days are numbered,
but that's,
which they are anyway,
but and you're closer to the number, so what does it matter? You have less time. It's a morbid way to look at it, but like, I don't need it for the next 40 years now. I only need it for like another 20. And 20 ain't that long.
So we have, I mean, another challenge is we have clients that don't spend nearly enough on, like Megan, you're talking about gifting, and that's been more prevalent that, in our practice. But there's others that just have no idea, and they have way more than they're ever going to need under any scenario. And they're and many of them I can think of successful kids, and these are beneficiaries that aren't necessarily going to be like, Jeff, to your point, like, wow, that $500,000 came in like really, really handy or whatever. But can be a challenge to get people to like assign a purpose to the money that isn't you or your kids or a charity or something else. It's almost like there needs to be some other thing. If someone has no charitable interests, maybe they don't even have kids. Maybe they don't have anywhere that it's like earmarked to. Like, what then?
Nothing. I mean,
then they really did work for no reason.
Yes. I mean, that those cases are, you know, probably the extremes of this is, and that's strictly like not wanting to see your account balance go down. I mean, that's the perfect example of that. If you have no people, no organizations that you feel can benefit from you, and the only reason you're like limiting your lifestyle maybe or working to achieve a certain lifestyle is for a number, that's the worst way to live.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, people do it. I'm not.
I don't think, like, I've never done the exercise. At least I don't think I have. Like, I don't know what my number is. Like, what am I working and accumulating towards? No idea.
You've given me benchmarks. I don't think they're like very well thought out.
I mean, I think they're semi thought out, but I have no, like, when the house is paid off and the kids are out of college and they're not living with my wife and I, and I have no idea what my budget's going to be.
That's exactly what I would say. I can't tell you what I'm going to spend, so I can't give you a number.
But that's like, if I only need $2 million versus $5 million, that's huge, dude. Like, I can leave here like way sooner.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes. But you're also like charitably inclined. So if you leave here later, it's not like your money's not going to go to good.
I'll find a good purpose for it.
And I think that's part of the framing of this. Like, societally, right, we've created this timeline of employment, of work. It's like, you got to get to 60. And for some people, it's probably completely arbitrary. But for most people, you know, there's some number in their minds between, we'll say, 60 and 70, that it's like, I'll stop working. Have they done a budget exercise? No. Do they know how much money they need? No. So they don't have, like, the important information, but it's just the age that we've kind of told people, like, maybe you can stop around this time. I think, like, the idea of people intentionally stopping 10 years sooner is crazy. Like, I don't think that's going to be the outcome of even a whole generation trying to like die with zero. I think it's the opposite. It's like, let's accumulate as much money as we can for those working years. And then I'm going to spend it, give it away, give it to my kids, put my name on a building.
Right.
I think that's the realistic way that this, something like this comes into play. I don't see somebody being like, oh, I can work 5 less years. There's just too many unknown variables to make that type of call.
Yeah, and as you're talking, I'm thinking about how often, like, people just don't plan for it. Mm-hmm. It's just, I mean, hundreds of conversations a year that we have where people walk in and are just like, look, I'm 62, my wife is 63, this is how much we have no idea if we can retire.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have no idea what your budget is and how much money your money can give you and what Social Security should, like, they have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a lot of people, to your point, like, they just get to somewhere between 60 and 70 and then go grab Mike Trainer and go, hey, can you help me figure out if I can retire? Mm-hmm. Like, dude, where were you 20 years ago, man?
Mm-hmm.
So like, what I'm talking about doing, I think, would be valuable for like a guy like me, like at 45. Okay. What could the next 15 years look like? Savings, work, pay down of debt, and then what would I look like at 60?
Yeah.
Because then I think you can get into that age 60 with an education and a framework to be like, okay, like maybe I can call it.
Right. I don't have to go to 65.
Or I don't have to do the same thing.
Same thing.
Yeah. Earn the same amount. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's certainly interesting, I think. And he says it in here. It's what makes financial planning more of an art than a science. And, you know, you could do the math. You can run the numbers, but it's, I think you started off saying like, it's impossible.
Yeah. I mean, we've also had the opposite end of the spectrum. People come in with a very detailed spreadsheet that goes out into the future. And it's almost as, I shouldn't say that. It's way more useful than having nothing, but because it doesn't factor in all of the what ifs, and they're not going to be what ifs, they're what whens.
Right.
I just made that up. Is that pretty good?
It's a what when.
Yeah.
It's wrong. Your spreadsheet's wrong.
Your spreadsheet's not right.
It's not right. I mean, it's great work, but it's completely wrong.